This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We've got Dabo Sweeney coming up here momentarily, which we look forward to having a conversation with the seven-time ACC champs. Just keep on rocking and rolling back to the college football playoff for the sixth consecutive year. With that said, let's bring on the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Sweeney. Dabo, how are you, buddy? Congrats.
I'm good, man. Good to see you guys. Good morning. Love your helmet prop in the back. It's good.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, we got all kinds of props, man. We got more stuff than we know what to do with. And so, there's so much to talk about with this team. And I know you and I had a conversation on Thursday on off campus, and we talked about the physicality of the first game with Notre Dame. It looked like it was reciprocated on Saturday. That was a great balanced team effort on Saturday for the championship.
Yeah, I mean, that was the number one thing we had to do was you know, play better up front on both sides, be more efficient in the run game. You know, last game we averaged 1 yard a carry. They averaged 5. This game we averaged, I think, 8.1 a carry, and they averaged 1. So, you know, we kind of flipped that. The guys really did a great job, buying into our plan, executing our plan. We lost the turnover margin, but they had a missed field goal. We had a couple stops on downs, and those are empty possessions. Those are light turnovers. So in my mind, we won the margin because we got points off of that. And last game, they got 10 points off of turnovers, and they didn't get any this game. And so those were huge, huge turnarounds for us. And then certainly, man, just the health of our team, guys really, getting back and our depth developing throughout the season really paid off for us Saturday.
Coach, to go to this stage and be as successful as you guys have been in it speaks to a mentality of not just this particular team, but of a program. And I said this earlier to Mark, you guys were put in a spot by the loss in early November where you were chasing. And I kind of like Clemson chasing a little bit Saturday. It showed me a side we don't often see, and for good reasons, because you're so successful. But when put in that mode, your group, I thought, handled that assignment pretty well.
They did. And you know, and to me, that's what makes college football so much fun is, you know, every game is a playoff game in college football. If you're one of the teams that has a chance to be at that stage, every game is a playoff game, and every game is must win. And, you know, we lost that game in South Bend, and every game has been must win. And isn't that what makes college football great? And so let's just say we had 12 playoff teams. Well, every game's not that, because you're not going to have 12 great teams. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, maybe it could go to 6 and you could give the top 2 a bye or something. But I think the urgency that you have to play with in college football, as opposed to what you see in the pro leagues where, you know, you already know you're in the playoffs. You already know. And so you rest guys and things like that. And so, and that's fine. I like pro sports, but it's a different dynamic. You don't have as many teams. So I think it's awesome. And then for us, I think we always talk about a windshield mentality. It's what's next. And yes, we've won 6 in a row. But the reason we've been so consistent and 10 plus win seasons in a row is a windshield mentality, number one. It's joy in the journey, you know. It's loving what you do, loving who you do it with. And then, you know, I think you got to keep your dreams greater than your memories. You know, and that's what a windshield mentality is always about, you know. You know, it's always about what's next. You accomplish something really, really great in life. Or maybe you stunk it up and it was a horrible thing and a bad mistake or a bad decision or you just had a bad year. Man, get your eyes out of the rearview mirror, man. It's always about what's next. And your dreams have to always be greater than your memories. And if you can take on that mindset, then you can have joy in the journey every year. And that's what we do. I mean, every year is a new journey and it's a new team. And I love all these teams. Somebody asked me the other day, I was like, man, I mean, that's like asking you which child you love the most. You love them all. So it was an amazing moment. So proud of our guys. Saturday was magical. And I never stood before a more ready team. And I knew that. They were eager. They were excited to go and win the league. It's important to win the ACC to us. It's very important. That's a major goal of ours. And, you know, we got it done. Now we got one more goal, and that's to win the closer. And if that happens, then maybe y'all invite me back on your show. Might be a good year.
Look at that. You know, you were on such a good run until you got to the end there, and you just
I don't usually get an invite unless we like win a championship or something.
Absolutely stop.
That is garbage.
I mean, I have to talk to Packer every Thursday, you know, but you know, this is like a TV show. I mean,
it is a TV show.
It is a TV show. Yeah, I know. Yeah, real TV. How about that?
You know, a lot's been made of Trevor Lawrence, and I thought what you said after the game about the whole Heisman routine. If it happens, great, but it's a team game, and you've always taken that approach with your club. But I'll tell you what else it was sweet to watch is a guy like Travis Etienne who said, you know what, I'm coming back. I'm going to get my degree, and he did. I got another year of football to play, and he hasn't had the numbers based on expectations running the ball. But you guys have put him in a position where he's been able to showcase more skill than he never would have. The NFL would have never seen him be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, blocking. And all of a sudden, to see him have another breakthrough moment Saturday was cool. And again, I know Trevor got all the love. The team played great. But to see ETN go for over 100, and all of a sudden, here he goes, busting through. And, you know, we didn't see that in the first Notre Dame game. And I know that had to stick in his craw that, hey, next time I see these guys, we're going to go bust it. And it was kind of cool to see number 9 have a big night.
Yeah, he was awesome and, you know, really took it upon himself to you know, be ready. But listen, Travis Etienne has had his best year as a Tiger. You know, he's everybody thinks about Travis and rushing and this and that. And obviously, you saw that the other night. And he's closing in on 1,000 yards. He's not far from it, but maybe he'll get that here in the postseason. But this has been his best year as a Clemson Tiger, because he's become a complete player. And what he's done, he's the only guy to do what he's done this year in college football, rushing and receiving. And the last player to do it was Saquon Barkley. And what he's done this year has only happened 4 times in 20 years. So it's different. Everybody's used to just seeing him running all over, but he's catching passes downfield. He's out of the backfield. He's screening it to him. It has been unbelievable. And so when I say he's had the best year of his career, it's not even close. And, you know, those pro scouts recognize that too. And that's why he'll be the first back taken when the draft comes. He's a complete player, can beat you so many different ways. His knowledge, his understanding, he's still the gifted runner he's always been, but he's a Swiss Army knife now. And that makes him dangerous.
Coach, what about this team, the leadership from within? What are the characteristics of this team that maybe are a little different from a year ago or 4 years ago when this dominant run into the college football playoff started? What is it about this particular team that now, as you're on the eve of making another run into the deep postseason, strikes you?
Well, they got the same DNA, same Clemson DNA, I mean, as the past teams. I mean, you know, you don't win as many games as we've won if you don't have consistently. You know, you can have a great team here and there, but you don't do what we've done consistently without great leadership. We've had some unbelievable young men come through here. We like to say first-class men, world-class leaders. That's what we've had come through this program, and that's who these guys are. The difference is this team has had challenges. This leadership group has had challenges that no team has ever had. You know, we're climbing a mountain that ain't ever been conquered, ever. Nobody, with uncharted territories of things that we have had to navigate with the leadership of this team. And they've been amazing. I mean, same qualities and characteristics of all these guys that have come before them, because we build leadership. We develop. That's a huge part of our program, is developing leaders, equipping men. And you know, we develop that their whole time. And our seniors are a huge part of that. We have lots of communication. But I think the biggest thing is just the challenges have been different for this group. And from the time we got back in July, there has been just a deep, great appreciation for the opportunity, number one, to be together, and number two, to play the game. To practice. And then just a lot of trust and respect, man. There's had to be a lot of trust because there were so many unknowns. Trust in our process and our medical people, and it's been amazing. Our guys have been absolutely amazing this entire year, the sacrifice, the commitment. But the leaders on this team have done an absolutely wonderful job this entire year.
That leads me to the next game. And I was doing a little homework on you guys, Dabo, and I saw that from 19...
The first time you did homework, Pack. That's the first time you did homework.
And listen, you're talking to a Clemson alum, so be careful what you're saying over there, Sweeney, all right? From 1936 to 2014, Clemson won a grand total of 5 games against AP top 5 teams. Since 2015 to yesterday, or till Saturday, you've won 8. Which tells me, hey, big picture, we're living in an amazing decade plus of Clemson football. 10 straight years of 10 or more wins speaks volume. Only 3 teams have ever done it: Bama, Florida State, now Clemson. But it leads me to the Ohio State Buckeyes. You've already had some epic duels with these guys. You beat Urban Meyer twice. Last time you had a chance to see him, you beat him 31-0. The Fiesta Bowl last year was as good a football game as I have ever seen. That Ohio State team last year was really, really fantastic. And you basically spotted them 16, had to play uphill the rest of the night, found a way to win the game. They've circled the calendar, as you well know. You've been living, whether you know it or not, rent-free in Columbus, Ohio for a year because they have said, hey, we want a piece of Clemson from the get-go. And lo and behold, we're going to get it at the Sugar Bowl. Does it help that you've had a chance to see these guys now, again, multiple times, not to mention last year? And I know teams change from year to year, but will that help from at least a presentation and getting doing a little homework about how you're going to attack these guys? Justin Fields, you already have seen this guy before. Does that help in the preparation for coming up in 2 weeks for the Sugar Bowl?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think anytime you are playing someone that you have some familiarity with, that's a positive. You know, you can look back at tape where you've matched up, and you know, just like playing an opponent every year, you know, you go back and you look at your last year's game. Now you have different people and things like that, but you can still get a feel, you know. Plus, obviously, you're going to study their games this year. That'll be a quick study for us. They were only 6, so that'd be a little easier. You know, typically you're going into these games, you got, you know, 13 games to study. So it won't be as daunting of a task there. But, yeah, we're familiar with them. They're familiar with us, and we look forward to it.
Wait.
I know you mentioned this.
Wait, Wes, hold on a second. I'm not going to let him slide on that one. So you're saying you're telling me it's a lot easier to prep when you only have 6 game tapes to watch. Is that what you're telling me? Because I heard that. I was listening to what you
said.
Well,
I mean, from a process standpoint, absolutely, because – you know, like I said, typically you have 13 games. Like, they're going to have to study 11 games. You know, you got to study every play, offense, defense, special teams. Plus, you're studying every play. Plus, you're going back to last year. You know, so it does make it a little easier because there's not as much tape to pour through. You can't make it up. There's only 6 games. So,
all right. I'm gonna let Pack digest that for a moment because you just gave him the simple math. Yeah, you gave him the math. you did talk about the schedule of this. This is a little faster turnaround here. This thing is not long on the horizon. It's right there. So what have you talked about with your staff, and I guess how will you talk with your players about the accelerated preparation for this? Because there's not a lot of going home and hanging out at the house and post-exam and all the things you can give the week off, that kind of deal.
Yeah, it's so different. I mean, it's, you know, obviously we've got some experience in this thing, and typically when the ACC championship game is over, our players are off a week and we're on the road for a week traveling, you know, recruiting, kind of doing all that. I have a week to really kind of finalize my plan and really think. And you know, that's not the case this year. Literally we're doing a week's worth of work in about a day and a half. We have an advanced team that went out to New Orleans this morning to, you know, finalize some logistical things that we need answers to. But it's just, you have to treat this like an open date. In fact, we have less time for this game than we did Notre Dame. So we play in 11 days. We got 10 days to get ready now. And so we got a lot of work to do. Plus, you got Christmas in there. We'll give our guys off. We'll be off, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and they certainly deserve that. But you know, it's not a bowl. You can't think of it as bowl prep. When we've had bowl prep, right. Like I said, it's a much longer ramp, and we have JV practices. You're developing your team. There's a lot going on. We're in week 21, so mm-hmm. It's just basically an open date. We'll get back to practice tomorrow. We're staff all day today. We got a lot to do, staff day today. Team will come in tomorrow, and we'll get going. And then the 26th, the day after Christmas, basically that's game week. And then you know, these bowl games, it's not like you're going and having a bowl experience. We're going to literally go the Thursday. I know the game's on a Friday, but my mind's always on a Saturday. So if the game was on a Saturday, for example, we would basically go in Thursday night, have our focus Friday, play the game, come home right after the game. So it's going to be very different experience. It is what it is. We're thankful we're getting to play, and we're excited about it. It's a great matchup, but we got a lot of work to do. But to answer your question, you just have to treat it like an open date.
Last thing for me, you know, you're the number two seed. That number two has been a good fit. Tigers are number two seed in 16, number two seed in 18. Turned out to be national championship runs. Is this team peaking at the right time, Dabo? You get a feel for that?
I hope so. You know, because we're going to have to beat some good teams to win this thing. But I feel good about where we are. This is the healthiest we've been all year. 2020 has been crazy for everybody, but one of the silver linings is we've been able to develop a lot of young players, a lot more depth. We've had to start a lot of different guys. Mentally, we're in a good place, and these guys are excited. They're focused. They're locked in and looking forward to this challenge.
Merry Christmas to you and Kat and the family. We appreciate all your time.
Merry Christmas. Can you see my lights? I'm lit up. We got lights everywhere, man. We should have done this in my office. I got my tree up. I got all my little dancing animals. You'd love it. Got some good ones in there.
Well, you know, if you're available, we'll just do this in January when you get back from New Orleans. If you're in the mood.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Coach. Be well.
We'll bring some beignets. That is a positive. The one positive about going back to New Orleans is you get some beignets.
Yeah.
There you go.
Better now.
Cafe Dumont. Get a little Dumont. Coffee.
Yeah, man.
A little beignet. Yeah.
That's it.
Get your ACC Network mug for your coffee, by the way, when you do that.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, one more thing. I'm a little disappointed in you.
Why?
I meant to text you because I'm sitting there watching. Again, you wear out Notre Dame. I got my feet up, and I got the fire going on. I got one ice cube, got the dogs, and I see you're coming on for your speech, you and Maria Taylor. And I was just waiting for a Since Dirt reference, and I never got the Since Dirt.
Oh, don't worry. I shared that with my team. I just threw you in they. They said this was the biggest game ever. So, you know, that's a tombstone game, Packer. That's going to go out in the graveyard out there. So we might put that on the tombstone. That might be a good quote from Mark Packer.
Great.
Hey, I know I got a question for y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who this – so there's been lots of silver linings of 20. Everybody talks about all the bad, but there's been some good. So one of the silver linings has been our ability to communicate and all these things. It's kind of crazy. So is it a silver lining that y'all don't have to be together in the mornings anymore? Or is that a negative? How does that work for y'all?
That's a Wes question. Because, I come down the steps.
The dog's not rubbing up against your leg. I'm just wondering that because I've been seeing y'all on the split screen, but I didn't know. What's your answer to that?
You know, Dabo, I got to be honest. I like the dogs. I enjoy Mark. His hospitality in the basement was fantastic. But, you know, Vicky and I get to hang out here in Cartersville, Georgia. I mean, how bad a deal is that, right? I mean, you know, get to – It's okay, but yeah, we've kind of gotten accustomed to the soft delay and doing the show this way, to be honest with you.
Hey, Dabo, here's the truth. You want the truth? Wes enjoys being in his own home, sleeping in his own bed, even though I've got a suite upstairs with his name on anytime he needs it. But what Wes really didn't tell you is when Fuller rubs up on Wes. Fuller, our big dog, really likes Wes. So every night I would give Fuller like some, I don't know, Captain Crunch or some Triscuits or something the dog shouldn't eat. So by the time Fuller would come down here with Wes in the mornings, there would be times that Wes would have tears coming down his eyes. I wouldn't know why until I would smell it during the commercial break. So that's why he's glad he's not hanging out in the basement. Now you know
that's
the truth.
What happens. Well, that's what happens when you have two men in a basement. You're going to have some foul smells along the way.
You got it. You're all over it. Merry Christmas, man. Keep up the great work.
Especially if you let McLean in. All right. See you guys.
Too. You got it.
Take care, coach. All right.
Now you know the rest of the story.
I mean, you just never know where Dabo's question and answers are going to go. And it's awesome. I love it.
I can't tell you how many times when Wes would be here in the basement that we would be doing the show and I would look across because I'm sitting in Wes's chair. I'm normally over here with my cutout and I would just see Wes look at me like, wow. And I wouldn't know what was going on until like I'd be on delay and I'd be like, oh yeah, that was, yeah that was that French toast I gave Fuller at 4:15 this morning. So yeah. That's how that works. So that's part of the deal about the live show. And again, it's why we won the Emmy. It's why we won the Emmy. Best sports show with dogs in a basement. That's it. That's how we won it.
Unbelievable.
There we go.
Best and worst of the weekend coming up next on Packer and Durham. And the best, here comes our second gift. It's a good one. We will capsule the weekend in the ACC when we come back right after.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday.
On cue.
Yep, Chester's fired up. I think they hear Hyper Piper upstairs. All right, we got to get right to this.
Dabo talking about the dogs.
That's it. Chester and Fuller. All right, let's get right to it. The best and worst of the weekend. We got a bunch on both here. Let's lead with the best. Wow. And quite frankly, the ACC has 50% of the college football playoff. You got it. Not one, but two teams in the Final Four. So first time that's ever happened for the ACC. Pretty impressive.
Two teams in the Final Four. Most teams in the final top 25, Mark.
That's right.
How about that?
Yep. Five in the top 25, more than anybody else. And two of the Final Four. Yep. Pretty good. I'll tell you, a lot of conferences would be going crazy if they accomplished such a feat. Yep. And they'd tell you about it. So we're going to go ahead and tell you that the ACC is doing it.
Yeah. So there you go. The Tigers' football dominance in this league continues. We just mentioned it a moment ago. Seven conference titles for Dabo Swinney, six in a row. The latest 34-10 on Saturday night in Uptown Charlotte. Tigers allowed an early field goal, then had a doink, and then all of a sudden, two plays later, Lawrence to Amari Rodgers. Next thing you know, it's 7-3, and off they go. 34 in a row before Notre Dame added a late touchdown, right?
Yep. There you 20, go. That's 20 ACC football championships for Clemson, which is the most in the league. Florida State has 15, but the Tigers run has been remarkable. As a matter of fact, in this six-year run, keep in mind, Clemson is 52-3 against the ACC in this six-year run. That is remarkable. But this was the hardest year. We said this going in before the season that the Tigers would be the favorite, but I sensed that this would be the most difficult one to win, and I think that turned out to be true. Notre Dame's awfully good.
Yeah. I thought Coach Swinney's comments about just this year in particular – also talk about the challenges of this particular 2020 Clemson title as well.
Yep.
The ACC continues to perform well against the University of Kentucky. Latest example, Saturday in Cleveland, in the one of the two doubleheader games played at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, I think it's now called. Kerwin Walton was perfect from behind the line off the bench. Gave Carolina quite a lift. Tar Heels had a big ball game out of Armando Bacot. Dayron Sharp helped out as well. And next thing you know, Carolina wins by 11 over the Wildcats.
Yeah, 1-5 compliments of Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, and now North Carolina. Louisville and Kentucky get together this weekend.
So now it's incumbent upon Chris Mack and the Cars to continue the trend. Well, we got a box over the weekend, Mr. Packer.
Yes, we did. And I took advantage of it already.
Did you?
Yes,
how'd you
do? Well, you'll see in a second here. Jim Phillips, the new commissioner of the ACC, was kind enough, since we were talking about food on the show, he sent some pizzas and some Italian beef. And so I figured, hey, I got an ice cube, a fire, some dogs. What goes good with watching all this football and basketball? Jim Phillips and some deep dish Chicago pies. And they were awesome. Just going to tell you that right now. Awesome. And I can't wait to jump on the Italian beef from Portillo's. So we appreciate the new commissioner sending some care packages. Team Phillips, double thumbs up from the Packer residents this weekend. We all enjoyed it. It was great.
Thank you very much to the incoming commissioner. Very kind. Look forward to that around the holidays. All right. Living on the line, we've talked about Mike Young and Virginia Tech throwing in threes, 15, 16. They've had those type games. The other night against Coppin State, went by 40, and we're going to throw 20 of them at you.
20 threes. Let it rip.
Oh. I mean, seriously?
Yep. The Hokies have been an interesting group, haven't they? I mean, they knock off Villanova, then they kind of lay an egg with Penn State. They played extremely well against Clemson the other night, and then all of a sudden they're going to throw out fire 23s. Keep an eye on the boys in Blacksburg. I'm just going to tell you, they may be pretty good now. They may be flying underneath the radar a little bit. Watch out for the Hokies. My sources up there were right.
Well, and you're right, but you throw in 23s, you're going to beat a lot of people.
I mean,
you know. So if they're going to stand on the line and average anywhere around 14 or 15 a game, get ready, because the castle will become a house of horrors for sure. We had some announcements. You know, a lot of players foregoing years, going to the draft, you never know, changing, opting out. Well, let me tell you who's not opting out. Carla Williams, the athletics director at the University of Virginia, announced she is staying. The conversation about Carla and her future in Charlottesville came up because the athletics director job at her alma mater, the University of Georgia, is available. But Carla announcing on Friday that she will not be leaving Charlottesville. There was a lot of conjecture about her candidacy potentially at the University of Virginia, or at the University of Georgia. That will not happen. She is going to stay as the athletics director at the University of Virginia. And in a simple word, that is a win.
Oh.
Not only for UVA, that is a win for the ACC.
No question.
She is as good an athletics administrator as this conference has seen. And she's been a tremendous addition to this conference, as have all the athletic directors that have kind of been brought to the job here in the last, seven, 8 years. Kind of the new evolution of athletic director. So excited to know that Carla Williams is going to be at Virginia for the future.
She is smart. She is impressive. And when the job opened up at Georgia, quite frankly, I was like, man, well, Carla is the perfect fit for that. So when I saw that story over the weekend, I said, we got to add this to the best of, because we're big fans. And again, if you've spent any time with Carla Williams at all, and when she walks off, you go, you know what? She is a very, very impressive individual. So that is, like you said, that is a win for Virginia, a win for the league, a win for ACC Network, a win for us, and thrilled to death that she's going to stay in Charlottesville.
No doubt about it. James Skalski has 5 ACC championships.
Yep. And could, I guess, 5. Come back for another one. I mean, this year really doesn't count.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
first thing I thought of was he could come back and get a 6th.
Yeah, and nobody's ever done 5 before. Skalski's the only dude now. He's got 5 of them. And let me tell you something. Clemson is a different beast when 47's on the field. I'm just telling you, they are just different. And he will remind you because he is barking and he is coming after you. And he just goes 100 miles an hour. The Tigers with 47 healthy are dangerous.
Right about that. ACC, six bowl teams for a 20th consecutive year. That's pretty good for a league that was still finding its way. Some felt even as few as 10 years ago in terms of its football. But this league continues to develop not only champions nationally, but also a competitive level that's been impressive. And this year, about the same. You get two in the college football playoff, five in the top 25, and you got six teams going to bowls. And we will chronicle those stories here in the next couple days as well with the awards announcements we're going to have. But good for the ACC. North Carolina, of the six going to a bowl, North Carolina is going to play Texas A&M in the Orange Bowl, Capital One Orange Bowl, on January the 2nd at 8 o'clock on ESPN. This is the Tar Heels' first big major bowl invite in 70 years. 70, Pac.
Yep, and their first Orange Bowl invite since dirt. I'll just throw that one in there for you one more time. And North Carolina's earned it, man. You know what? That's why I said last week, if you wear the shade of baby blue, you got tiger paws on your car this weekend heading into the Notre Dame game, because a Clemson win set up for this exact situation. And that is the fact that the ACC's got two in the tournament, and that means the next man up gets to go to the Orange Bowl and tag. You're it, North Carolina. Compliments of blowing out Miami. That's why that game was so important at down at the Orange Bowl, if you will. So, again, great for Mac Brown. As I said, he's won eight of his last 10 bowl games. If you're a North Carolina fan or player, coach, administrator, that win against Miami kind of separated, you know, hey, we need one of those wins. We need one of those kind of games. That was it. And, it's just a perfect case scenario. North Carolina's off and bowling and down at South Beach. So, congratulations to the Heels.
All right, we're going to turn here at the bottom and go from good to bad. Best of the weekend becomes the not so good. Oh, man. Oh, and for the Irish now. Oh, my goodness. Louisville? Oh, heavens. We'll take a break. Come back. Worst of the weekend coming up next.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Now we go from the positives to the negatives. We had a few. We had a few, Wes, and it started on the hardwood. I told you, I turned it off and it was 80-38. And Louisville Cardinals will have better days. But that was not one of them over the weekend, as they will now get ready for Kentucky coming up. But, man, it got ugly in a hurry at Wisconsin.
1956, Pac?
Yeah, February 13th.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
And it was. I mean, it was ugly. I mean, but listen, shorthanded, and again, no excuses. Wisconsin was the better team, obviously. But you just don't see, when that score kept popping up, you're like, yikes, man, it's 80-38. What are we doing here?
Right.
But Kentucky's next.
Yeah. Cats, can redeem yourselves, Cards.
That's it.
I know it bothered you, but I also know that if you beat Kentucky, all will be forgiven.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
You got it, Wes. That's exactly right.
All right. Florida State's home winning streak was snapped, and if you had a list of teams that you would name, I bet you would go 5 or 10 deep, and you wouldn't have named the team that ended it.
That's right. This score stunned me. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, no, come on, man, that's wrong. I got to flip-flop. Florida State didn't lose these guys.
Right.
Again, I'm no knock on UCF, but, man, Florida State's been untouchable at home. Like I said, they're fresh off of knocking off Indiana, looking good doing a part, knocked off Florida because they beat them 7 in a row. You talked about the, you know, conference win, and you're thinking, man, they're cruising. Maybe the holidays, maybe they're sleepwalking. I don't know. But that'll be a wake-up call for Leonard Hamilton's guys, because I did not expect to see that happen. Didn't see it.
Shift back to Charlotte. More than likely, this is Notre Dame's final football appearance for the time being in the ACC. We can hold out hope that maybe the Irish will join the ACC one day in football, right?
If they want.
Full-time member. But for the time being, right, Pac? This is it. That's a tough note to go out on now.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, getting your rear ends kicked is probably not the way you want to have a lasting memory, assuming this is just a one-and-done football deal. As you said, there will be opportunities, I'm sure, down the road. If the Irish want to join a conference, this would be the one they'll join if it's going to happen between now and the next 15 to 16 years. But as good as the Irish have been, and this has been a win-win proposition this season, and I don't care what fans say, this has been good for Notre Dame. It's been good for the ACC. Yep. You got two in the Final Four. You got five in the top 25. The eyeball test as far as people watching games, even for Notre Dame and NBC, they had an incredible number for the Clemson game November 7th, the second largest ever in NBC history with the Irish. So this has been a win-win, but assuming that this is Notre Dame's final ACC game, they went out with a whimper because that was a woodshed Saturday by the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah. One thing that Tiger fans will have to keep an eye on in preparation for New Year's night when they play the Buckeyes in the All-State Sugar Bowl will be the fact that Nolan Turner will not be available for the first half.
Yep.
The hero of last year's Fiesta Bowl victory with the pick of Justin Fields, Turner was ejected for a targeting call in the second half, which means that he'll miss the first half of the Sugar Bowl. Roddy Jones is as good on this rule as anybody I know in college football. The lowering of the head. Now, the question is that a defenseless player? Yeah, maybe not. But crown of the helmet to the side of the helmet, that's almost the dead giveaway in the targeting call. He'll miss the first half of the CFP semifinal.
Well, that's a big loss for a half because Turner gives him experience in the secondary, even though Clemson's played a bunch of dudes back there. Two things. Number one, I despise the targeting call in college football. It stinks. The penalties, I think, are ridiculous. Everything about it needs to be tweaked. I say it every year at the end of every football season. I understand the intent, but the rule is bad. However,
right,
the rule as it's written, that was a good call. That was a good call. But I hate the rule. The rule stinks. And the penalty, I mean, these kids put in too much work to have to sit out a half of a game. I think the whole thing is absolutely asinine, quite frankly. But college football's got a lot of problems. We got teams with two wins going to bowls and teams with nine wins can't find a bowl. We got so many issues in college football to address. It's not even funny. But the targeting rules should be on the list.
Virginia Tech bowl streak ends at 27. The Hokies announcing they're not going to seek a postseason invitation on Friday, and thus yesterday their name was not called.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great run, but, you know, we only have like 7,004 bowls now. So, I mean, in some respects, it's a sign of consistency that you've released good enough to get to one. But I think the whole bowl thing's been watered down a bit when it comes to those kind of stats. And, again, I'm not trying to take away anybody's accomplishments. But seriously, we got teams with two wins and three wins going to bowls. And even prior to the pandemic, we've had teams with losing records going to bowls. It's really become almost comical, to be honest with you.
Also, one of the worst of the weekend. Didn't happen long after our show was over on Friday. Florida State ended the season with another cancellation pack.
I don't know if it's going to affect your accounting, but, you know, we know about the Clemson fiasco going to Tallahassee. Virginia going to Tallahassee. At least I guess the Noles didn't spend money to go to Winston-Salem before. You know that they wanted to play coming off the Duke win with some momentum, scoring a bunch of points. You know they wanted to play. I mean, that's never been the issue, but it just stinks. I mean, Florida State down the stretch with the three canceled games. Hey, it's COVID football, man. You just never know. Never know.
That's it. Notre Dame ends up with a double Clemson nightmare over the weekend. We already told you extensively about the football. And then yesterday, women's basketball took a loss, too.
It's really the Amari nightmare. And here's what I mean by it. There's the first Amari right there. Amari Rodgers, who had eight catches for a 121 and a touchdown. Here's the other Amari. Amari Robinson went for 11 points and 9 rebounds. So it was kind of an Amari nightmare for the Irish. A double dose of the Tiger Paw. They've probably had enough of that. a 24 and a 23 point loss, respectively, on the hardwood and on the field. So, tough weekend for the Irish.
We've got hoops coming up. We'll talk to you about that. We've got a big announcement as well about Carolina. We will outline the schedule for you. Final segment on the Monday show. Amir Sims and the Tigers are in action. I'll tell you all about it coming up next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
It's the Dean Smith Show.
You know, assistant coaches in basketball or football never seem to get the attention I think they deserve. And I'm glad you had a chance to visit with Coach Roy Williams. He's a superb teacher and a very bright individual who we think just does a fabulous job.
Roy, people see you sitting on the Carolina bench over to Coach Smith's left. What is your role during a game for the Tar Heels?
Try to keep my heart beating until the game's over.
Oh, gosh, Coach Smith, what he means to me is pretty easy. He was a guy who I thought was the best there ever was on the court, and he was far superior to that off the court. When I came back, Coach Smith at that time said, we need you, and I didn't want to let him down. A lot of things I do in coaching, I try to figure out would just make Coach Smith proud, and that's pretty important to me.
Coach Smith took over in 1961. Since 1962, we've been pretty good.
The Tar Heels are the Atlantic Coast Conference champions.
The Tar Heels are going to move.
ACC Traditions features Carolina tonight, an in-depth look into the rich history of Tar Heel basketball. Teams, players, coaches, never know who you might hear or see on that show. Hey, Woody, John Kilgo, never-before-seen footage and more coming up tonight, 7:30, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. That'll be fun. Anytime we had the opportunity to talk to Phil Ford last year, at the ACC tournament, and that was fun to get him to reminisce about Carolina basketball and that event and his special moment as a freshman in 1975. Anytime you get Phil talking about Coach Smith, it gets pretty emotional. Whether you dislike Carolina or love Carolina, Phil Ford talking about Coach Smith is always something.
Well, I just love the soundbite of Phil Ford going, well, yeah, Coach Smith took over in 61, and since 62, you know, we've been pretty good. And, you know, that would be an understatement. So, yeah, that'll be fantastic. Yeah. And old John Kilgo used to do a bunch of shows, the old radio show here in Charlotte and syndicated Carolina's old Kilgo. And he's a piece of work, too. So that'll be a blast tonight.
In case you check it out.
And, you know, for North Carolina fans, if you despise North Carolina or you love them, you know, it's either A or B, right? North Carolina's one of those schools. You either love them or hate them. You'll watch it and get worked up, either emotionally happy or emotionally mad, because you just realize, man, Dean's going to go to the four corners again. He's going to win. He's going to wear us out. It's just the way it is. And that's why I know tomorrow night you've got North Carolina NC State, and that will be a blast to watch too. So Looking forward to all of it.
Always great memories when you get the Tar Heels and Wolfpack together in basketball, both ways, right? I mean, you get the 87 ACC Tournament Championship at Capital Center in Landover when Valvano and Vinny Del Negro and Benny Bolton, Chucky Brown led the Wolfpack to a title. And, of course, Carolina, we just mentioned, 75 with Phil Ford. They beat David Thompson and NC State 70-66 at the Coliseum in Greensboro, thus ending the Wolfpack run after they had won the national championship the year before. We got a big day tomorrow and Wednesday on this program, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. We will announce the winners of the Jacobs Blocking Trophy, the Jim Tatum Award, and the Brian Piccolo Award. That comes up at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock on this very show, we will introduce the All-ACC team to you. Wednesday, Player of the Year, Offense and Defense, Rookies of the Year, Offense and Defense, and the Player of the Year overall. And at 9 o'clock on Wednesday, the Coach of the Year in the ACC. So all that's still to come. We do have a couple of football news and notes coming out of North Carolina here in the last, 10 minutes from the news desk of Packer and Durham, as it were, Mark. Michael Carter and De'Ami Brown have declared for the 2021 NFL Draft and will not be part of the Capital One Orange Bowl game against Texas A&M on the 2nd of January. So, both guys contending for first-team All-ACC, and Brown and Carter expected to be draft picks, but will not be participating in the Orange Bowl for Carolina.
That's great news for Jimbo Fisher. Those are two serious weapons that you're taking out of the UNC arsenal there. So, listen, in this day and age, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. Again, just sitting in this chair, you're going to a major bowl for the first time in 70 years. The school's never been to the Orange Bowl. Again, granted, the bowl game trips are not like they used to be, where you go down and you spend a week in here at the beach. Hey, this is truly a business trip. North Carolina literally just made this trip. Last time we saw them play, when they put a 62 spot on Miami and had, what, 778 total yards, whatever it was, and Carter and ran for 18 trillion. Listen, I understand why kids do what they do if you want to take care of yourself, but this is a special game for North Carolina. This is not going to the, you know, Gator Bowl or the Cheez-It Bowl or Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl, and again, I'm not knocking any of them. You go to a major bowl, you know, those are special times, especially for a school that hasn't been to one in 70 years. That's all I'm saying. But, hey, you do what you got to do. So that's what it is.
Yep. Quick reminder to you, we got basketball for you here on ACC Network. We got some games on the card today. It starts actually at noon. You'll get a look at Clemson. Brad Brownell's team welcomes Morehead State out of the Ohio Valley Conference. Gardner Webb is at Florida State. And later tonight, Longwood is at Virginia Tech. So, three basketball games for you coming up today right here on ACC Network. Stay tuned for some of that starting at high noon as we work our way toward the holiday week. We're here tomorrow with all the awards and much more. We'll get some of your phone calls. Wednesday, more awards before we take a couple days around the holiday as well. But a good show. Thanks to Brad Brownell, Eric McClain from Myrtle Beach in his palatial suite.
Brad Brownell.
Good. I mean, Dabo Swinney. I'm sorry, Dabo Swinney. I said Brad Brownell playing Morehead State. Dabo Swinney joined us earlier today.
He'll never come back. Eric McClain. He's never going to come back if he knows you promoted him as Brad Brownell. Just telling you. We might just lost Dabo for life.
Trust me. He's more concerned, I think, about your homework. I think he's more concerned that you're doing homework.
You can't get on my case for homework. That's all this is, man. That's all this is. This is tonight's show right there.
See you tomorrow morning at 7 for another edition of Packer and Durham. Be well.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.